Okay, great. So let's roll.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit of background. When did you find out he's getting married?
It was January.
Okay. Okay, so you've had some time with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me what's been coming up for you lately around that.
Well, what happened, like, it was funny because it came after the emotions, that your emotion lesson.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I don't know if it's prompted it, but so I've been really good about it, the marriage and everything with the boys, you know, so keeping it really clean. You know, it's beautiful that Dad's getting married because I don't always say great things about their dad.
Right.
Which I know is a no-no.
Yeah.
Just out of frustration sometimes I go, oh, he's being such a wanker, you know.
That, right, yeah, okay.
So long story short, I was at art school on Friday and one of the women there said to me, oh, Sid, isn't your ex getting married soon? That must be really big. How are you feeling? And I thought, I know something's going on. I can't feel it though. I said, I'm not sure how I feel. And then that night I went and spent time with a really good old friend of mine and he had a girlfriend, a friend turn up who is a rebirther and a breath worker. And anyway, she's separated, la, la, la. We're having this conversation. It was a beautiful night around a fire drinking broth. It was very nourishing. And she said, oh, wow, he's getting married. Wow, that's huge. You must have a lot of strong emotions around that. And I was like, again, I was like, I could feel it a little bit more, but I just wasn't quite connected to it. And then all of a sudden I felt sick and I looked at her and I said, actually, now that we're talking about it, I feel sick.
Mm.
And she just casually commented, because she works with emotions a lot with the breath work. She said, oh, you know, sick with rage.
Mm-hmm.
Then we just moved on. And then as I was driving home, what triggered it was the idea of my child walking down the aisle with them bearing their rings.
Right.
All of a sudden I was just like raging in my car and I almost home and I got into the driveway. It was night and I just went for it and I was like, you know, just saying all the stuff, like yelling at Craig and just being so angry and so angry that I'd had this experience of having to watch him and, you know, that I'd had to be in a small town watching him have a relationship. And anyway, it was wild. And I thought, I'm just going to let myself go there. So it looked like I felt like I was watching myself from above, you know, my body language and crying and howling and just letting myself be just so distressed and angry.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, thanks. I was quite proud of myself. And then the next morning I woke up and cried for most of the morning, had a big conversation with my mum and dad, which was nice. They were really supportive. And at the end of the conversation, my mum said, so if you got repartnered, who would bear your rings? You know, and mm-hmm. Hang on a minute, Naomi, I just have to open the door.
Yeah, sure.
It's going crazy. Come here, Goose. And you know, that was a good thing to ask me, because then she said, you know, like, they're his children too. And, you know, that's probably quite a normal thing that you would want your children to be part of your new, you know, wedding and bloody, bloody, blah. So
right.
That was great to hear that. It kind of took the charge out of all the emotional stuff for me.
Yeah.
It was just the more practical side of it. And then the next morning I woke up and I thought, wow, I can't actually hang anything on this. I can't hang anything on this wedding. It is completely okay. It's normal. It's legitimate, you know? And then I was like, oh, so what, you know, so I'm left with all my stuff now. I can't make them wrong about anything.
This is right, okay.
You know, so that's kind of... that's where I'm at. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I've been, you know, just feel. And then this morning, funnily enough, when I was driving to a class, Craig and Mel drove the other way. They'd obviously just dropped the boys off at school, and they're both really cool with their glasses on, and they're in our old family car, and they've got this great dog was hanging out the window. And I just noticed in myself that I went into comparison with awareness that, you know, Craig's just recreated the perfect family and the dog and the wife, and I'm kind of, you know, discarded in a way, or not, my life is boring compared to that, or not as good, or the boys will definitely probably want to live with them later because they're more, you know, happening and normal. And, you know, I haven't had a boyfriend for almost 2 years. So anyway, I noticed that came on pretty strongly, but I also know that when I compare, I'm just self-harming, you know, so.
Right. Okay. So this is opening up an amazing topic, and it's quite advanced, but it's really important. So we're going to address this. First of all, I just want to honor you for your honesty. I want to honor you for being willing to inquire into your feelings. And what that does for you is it's like a ticket to your next level of growth and healing, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So what you did when you were like, oh, I feel disconnected. I don't know what I'm feeling, but, you know, I want to know. That just opened everything up for you, mm-hmm. Right? So that was really powerful. For you. Yeah. So I want to go back to this piece where when your mother helped you to look at things objectively, that there was nothing that you could like object to, like on a practical level. It was like, okay, this is what's happening. What she was doing was she was guiding you away from a state of blame.
Yeah.
Right? And this is so interesting because it's like, I want to say that blame is a secondary experience of an emotion.
Okay.
It's not a direct experience. It's where you've kind of transposed your feelings onto a different place, this place of blame. And so it's a way for us to stay disconnected to our feelings. It's a way for us to interact with emotional material without actually feeling. And we feel indirectly. So it's like we're siphoning our feelings over to this other place, which is outside of us. Because blame is about what somebody else is doing, right?
Yeah.
So it's about directing it over to them. But what it does is it disconnects us from a direct experience of our feelings. So this is about us. And when we have that experience of, you know, disconnecting on that level where it becomes about them, we lose that capacity to transform ourselves because we're not in direct relationship with our own energy, with our own feelings. And we're not embodying that. We're not experiencing it in a way that's transformational. Now, the thing is, our minds are, you know, so tricky. And our minds feel that, for one thing, because we have such a resistance to anger and such a judgment about anger, we really think that we only have permission to feel angry if someone's doing something wrong to us. And so we only reside in anger when we're in that blame place. And then it becomes really disorienting if we let go of the blame, but we still feel angry.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Can you just recap that last little bit again?
Yes. Starting from where?
So the blame is transference.
Yes.
Something outside of myself.
Yes.
So I can't actually I can't contact the direct emotion.
Right.
And that the anger, how does the anger coming, what's the anger and blame relationship?
Well, blame is a, blame is like when we take anger and we put it somewhere. It's like we remove it from ourselves in a direct energetic way. And it's anger once removed.
Right, okay.
Okay, so let's just pretend it's mathematical. It's anger once removed.
Wow, okay, I've never known. I've really got that before. That's amazing, thanks.
Yeah, and so, but what we have to really cultivate in ourselves when we really understand how important it is for us to heal and how important it is for us to transform and grow and learn. When we really understand that that is the most important thing for us, and that, you know, this is really about us, you know, reaching our potential. This is really about us becoming, you know, all that we can be.
Yeah.
Then we want to have the direct relationship with our feelings, yeah, so that we can heal and so that we can transform through the energy of that. And we can't do that when we siphon it off somewhere else, because it becomes actually an idea rather than a feeling.
Mm. Wow. Okay. I'm just writing all this down.
Sure.
It's really weird, but I've never really clocked it like this before.
Right. And I've said, we're going to go somewhere a bit advanced here, but this is your next phase of your development. Right?
Oh, I'm like, bring it on. That's good.
Yay. Okay.
Yeah, can I just say something, Naomi?
Yes.
I kind of feel like it's an old story now, going, oh, yeah, Craig and Mel, and they were so mean to me. And you know, I'm just like, I'm kind of bored of myself with
right.
all of that.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, all of that happened, and I wasn't an angel, so now let's go somewhere else.
Yay. Oh, my gosh, that's so big for you.
Yay.
Yay. Okay, so let's talk about healing and transformation and these emotions, because you see, we have this confusion that, you know, we're not allowed to feel angry unless we're justified. So we hold on to these stories.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, we think, well, if we let it go, then we're disempowering ourselves. This is an energetic thing. We're not maybe conscious of these thoughts, but it's like, I'm going to lose my power here because I'm just giving into this thing. And I really actually have this anger, and I don't want to ever forget that. And I don't want to forget that because anger is what protects me. And that's really, really true. Our anger system in our body is our defense system. And it's a great thing to have. It's, you know, we never want to lose that, because that gives us our ability to protect ourselves and to know the difference between what works for us and what doesn't, what's healthy for us, what isn't. But what happens is that I'm probably trying to say too many things at once, so I'm just going to slow down.
No, I'm totally with what you're saying.
Okay. So.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. So we hold on to our blame because we think that without it, we don't have our anger. And on some level, we understand that our anger is connected to our power. But where we've gotten so confused about this is that we don't understand that our connection to our power is through a direct connection to our feelings. And we actually lose our connection to our power by disconnecting from our feelings. So to be in anger once removed, which is blame, we're disconnected from the feeling. So we're disconnected to the source of our power.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're wanting power, we're doing the opposite of what we need to be connected to our power. Because we're completely confused about our power and what it is and what it feels like and what it looks like and how to be with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the other thing is that we don't like the energies and the aspects of ourself that aren't strong and aren't like matured and developed, you know, highly developed and functional, highly functional. We want to identify ourselves as those things. And so we like to focus on those areas in which we feel functional and we feel well and we feel mature. And yet it's these other parts of us that are not functioning, that are hurt and not mature, that haven't come into the development, into that maturity, that are still very much needing to grow up. And this is where I really do like to use the metaphor of the child and the adult. I think it's the most tangible way to understand this. Is that it's the child. There are parts of ourselves that are still childlike. And those are the parts of ourselves that are hurt. Okay? Like these other parts of ourselves have grown up, like into mature, functioning adults who can raise children and who could, you know, do all sorts of things that are very adult. Right? But we don't actually develop that way. We don't develop as like one whole solid being. There are aspects of us that develop at different speeds. And the aspects of us that got hurt develop the slowest. And they stay in that wounded child experience for as long as it takes for us to heal. And we're not comfortable with the presence of those energies because we know that they make us say weird things and act in weird ways, and we're just not really proud, right?
Yeah.
And so what we really try to do is we try to banish those parts of ourselves rather than heal those parts of ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? And what that's really, and I use these metaphors a lot in my work because I think it's, for me, it's the easiest way to understand it, and hopefully for you too it is when I talk about the child and the adult. And so what I use as a metaphor for that is you're basically, what you're doing is you're putting this child who's really hurt into a dark room all by herself and closing the door, locking the door and walking away. You're abandoning your wounded inner child. And we do this because we don't accept that part of ourselves. But what we need to understand is that the wounded inner child, and I'm actually a huge advocate for the wounded inner child. And what I say is that I have a hunch that the wounded inner child is the absolute best part of who we are.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think the wounded inner child is the part of ourselves that has the most creativity, the most intuition, the most capacity to do amazing things. And I think that because what I think is that that's the part of ourself that's the most sensitive. Okay? The most sensitive. And I think that's why that part of ourselves stayed wounded when other parts of ourselves were able to be resilient. Okay, so what happened when we got hurt as children is we were able to take the strongest parts of ourselves and forge ahead. right? We were able to keep going and keep growing and keep developing, but those really sensitive, deeper parts of ourselves couldn't take it.
Yeah.
You know, those parts of ourselves got hurt, got wounded, and needed to heal, but the healing was not available. Okay? And how do I know that? Because it hasn't healed, right? So that's only because the healing wasn't available.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay. The great thing that we can celebrate is that it's never too late.
Mm.
It's never too late for our wounded self to heal. It's never too late for our inner child to be parented the way our inner child needs to be parented in order to heal. So when you say that you have all these things going on in your mind when you see your ex-husband with his fiancée, that, oh, they're going to be this happy family, and they're going to be better than me, my kids will want to be with them more, and all of these things, what you need to know is that those are signals that you're getting close to where you feel wounded, okay? Yeah. And it's like, okay, it's important for you now to say, okay, well, this is the most important thing in my world is me. The most important thing in my world is that I evolve, that I mature, that I develop, that I blossom into who I am. And so I need to understand what all of that feels like for me and what that means for me. And I need to heal my wounded self. Now, it doesn't mean that anything that you're thinking is true or untrue. Like, you know, maybe your kids do want to spend more time with them. That might be just like a reality. And then that's a catalyst for you to go wherever it is you're needing to go to in your world, in your being. But we resist these things so much because they're taking us closer and closer to our wound. They're taking us closer and closer to our pain, and we resist. But actually, that's the opportunity that we want. We're here to get closer and closer to our pain so we can finally heal it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So, Naomi, this is really revolutionary for me. I'm loving what you're telling me.
Okay.
Like I've heard about the wounded child my whole life because I've always been wanting to heal and blah, blah, blah. But I'm actually, like, I can feel it differently now. So when you're resisting your own pain because you know you're getting closer to your wound, which is that really sensitive part of you that's been put away for a long time. Is it at that point then where perhaps my defense is to, that's when I go into blame and that's what drags me away
yes.
from the potential of having that relationship with that deep, sensitive inner part of me?
Yes.
But the minute I'm blaming, I can now know it's like, what's really going on for me now?
Exactly.
Oh, that seems so simple, but it hasn't been.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to work with this because you see, you need to be able to see these things, you know, more clearly. It needs to come into focus, right? Which is what's starting to happen for you. And so it's like when you hear these fears, this is the voice of your wounded inner child. And what you want to do is you want to develop a healthy, loving relationship with her. Okay? So I want you to think of the part of you that's all grown up, that's a mother. And in the best sense of the word, you know, it's not that we're perfect parents, but you do have an aspect of yourself that is incredibly loving, is incredibly nurturing, who instinctively responds to your children, you know, when they're hurt, and you put your arm around them, and you lie next to them, or whatever it is. There's that part of you, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I can feel that. I can feel all the parts that have developed in me. Like, I'm very I'm really aware of all the bits and pieces that I can pull off, you know, quite well.
Right. Okay. So just connect with that feeling of the mother in you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing is now what I'm going to tell you is that the mother in you is the one that can heal your inner child. And mm-hmm. just like you would never want to abandon your own children, right? You would never want to walk away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about moments of frustration. I'm just talking about the big picture. You know, I'm talking about the big picture.
Yeah.
And that you would want to love them if they're feeling pain, right? That's a true and natural impulse. And this is what you need to understand is that is exactly what will heal your wounded inner child and give her the chance to gradually and gracefully develop into something that is mature and has the capacity to come out into the world with all of her innate knowledge and all of her creativity, right?
Right.
Okay? So when you feel yourself blaming, it's like, okay, I have some deep feelings here behind this. So I need to reach out to my inner child and I need to give her some love and care. So what you can start to do is you can start to really become very familiar with this. And the way you do that is by you learn how to work with your own senses. So if it's all in your mind's eye, like these are visual experiences for you, then that's what you really work with the most. If it's more like a kinesthetic, where you kind of like, I can feel the wounded child because that's the part of my tummy that hurts, and I can feel the mother in me is that warm glow that seems to come, you know, from my heart.
Mm.
It's like you need to work with your senses around it and develop this practice of, I want to get really familiar with this.
Yeah.
And then I think it's important to create a space, which is your healing space with your inner child. So this is the place that you say, okay, this is your healing sanctuary that I've created for you, where I spend time with you, right?
Yeah.
And it's just a place where you connect. But it's a place where you feel this is the best possible environment for her to be in. Right? So that's something I want you to think about and create, like describe and get clear about. What is this place? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What's there? So that you're really introducing her to it. And you're introducing yourself to it. This is our place. And we go there. And when we go there, all you do is what you're doing is you're like, I see you, I feel you, I care about you, I'm here with you. And then she gets to do anything she wants. If she's numb, she's numb. If she's shaking and crying, that's what she is, and you hold her. You watch it, right? You don't try to change it. You don't try to fix it, because the fixing of it is the actual experience of it, right? So when we try to fix it by stopping it, that's not a fix, that's a disconnect, that's an interruption. So we're just present with it. And if she has something to say, like, I feel so much less than, I don't have a husband, I feel less than, then that's a precious moment where you're actually getting to hear the voice of your pain. It's like, oh, wow, you're letting me in, you're letting me hear. You know, gratitude that the voice is feeling safe to express. And it's like, I want to be present with this. This is a gift. This is the truth being expressed. And what's underneath that? What's underneath that fear, that concern? Where did that start? You know, deep down in my belly, what's the original emotion that connects to this experience of I'm not as interesting as them, I'm not as together? What's the original wound? And if you can hear that, if you can hear that voice that says, I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough, I'm not whatever it is, that is like the core issue or a core issue that you then can really, really work with. And we'll do some work separately at another time about how to work with those core issues. Okay?
So when that voice comes up, like I'm driving past Craig and I'm like, oh, we're such a perfect family, I don't have a perfect family, then that's her speaking. So not to go into, yes, but you're this and you're fabulous, interesting, that just to like really acknowledge that voice. But
right, yeah, so it's not to cover that up with, you know, like changing your thoughts, because that's going to cover up the wound. We'll get to the point where we bring these, you know, these true statements about who you really are in, okay? Because you're not going to stay forever thinking these bad things about yourself. But what we're more interested in initially is, oh, this really hurts. This is a pain. Or if you're not even at the hurt yet, I'm so angry at them, or it's, you know, this is their fault. Okay, let's start even at that top level. This is their fault. They're behaving in such an obnoxious way.
Yeah.
And I want them to stop, and I want to control them, and I want to make the, oh, hold on, I'm really focusing on them, aren't I? And I'm disconnecting from myself.
Yeah.
That's not the choice I want to make. I want to connect, and I'm upset. What am I feeling? Oh, I'm shaky. I'm angry. Oh, my anger is my power. What does it feel like to be angry? What does the anger need to do? Anger usually needs to do something, because anger is strong stuff, you know? Anger is a fiery goddess, right? So anger probably needs to yell and stamp and do all sorts of things, right? I need to connect with this anger and let it move. I don't want to hold it in anymore, right? So that's one stage of it, is expressing and feeling your feelings. But then there's other things going on, because underneath that anger is also a wound around not being loved the way you need to be loved.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things. Right? So it's like, oh, my little precious girl, you're upset. You're feeling badly about yourself. Oh, my honey, my sweetest little person, I'm here with you. I want to know you. I want to know what upsets you. I want to know what you're feeling and what you're thinking, but you don't have to do anything. I'm just here, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So basically my intention now is just to is to just come into relationship with my inner child. Just to be totally present to it, but not to have to fix or change or try and cajole myself into feeling better or...
That's right.
So it's an observation, really.
It's a relationship.
Yeah.
Because we heal through relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Well, I've got some really well-worn triggers into all of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So those are handy.
Yeah. I'm just thinking now, wow, I've just, you know, just over and over in my head over the last 3.5, almost 4 years now, I have just had such a rut that I've just gone over and over and over again, always about them.
Right. Always. Okay. Yeah. So deep habitual ways of responding.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like you create a big rut, right, when you do that.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to fall into the rut.
Oh, yeah. It's like beckons me and it goes, come here.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Here we go. You can get some righteous indignation happening.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's so good that you can say that even. That's a huge, you know, step in your transformation and your evolution. But there's the rut. It's there, right? It's not really going to go away. It's just that you're going to learn to... You're going to learn to walk another path, and as you walk that path, you know, it's the same thing. It becomes a trail that's easier to walk on because it's used. Like first, you know, you're kind of going through the underbrush and there's nowhere, you know, there's no clear place to walk because it's unknown territory, but you keep walking it, you keep walking, and it clears and it clears. And so it's not so easy to fall into the rut when you have a nice path now through your forest.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because as you talk about that, I feel that thing that you spoke about in the extra learning where you're like, no, because if I let go of this thing or I blame them because they hurt me and they were wrong and they did terrible things, you know, it's like, I totally agreed with you when you said, you know, you feel that if you let go of that stuff, it's like, you said it so perfectly. It's like if I stop blaming them, then they've gotten away.
Yes.
Terrible things that they've done to me. It's like I have to stay in this rut because here I'm flying the flag for justice because these people have behaved badly. But the thing is, I'm just there by myself.
Right.
There's no one else there. It's just a lonely, desolate.
Yes.
And in a way, I'm angry about that. I'm like, why aren't there people backing me in this? Can't people see what's happened? You know, like, if I put down the flag, then these people walk free and I'm left to carry the burden of all the stuff that they did to me. You know, it's really like that.
It is exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't quite know what to go with.
Well, what that means is that you need to do work with your anger because, what I'm saying to you is that your anger is a good, important, essential part of you, who you are, but when we don't have a direct connection with our anger, where we disconnect from it and siphon it off here and we siphon it off there, we don't actually move it. And then what we have is we have unresolved anger. Okay, so let's just say that anger is a system in our body. Let's just say that. And I like to think of it is it's like it's our defense system. Okay, so let's just pretend that you are a beautiful castle, okay?
Yeah.
And you have your moat, right?
Mm.
And you have your guards, right? Because, you know, your castle is just filled with wealth, right?
Mm.
And, you know, you have royalty inside your castle. There needs to be protection, right? Mm. And there's all sorts of forces out there in the world beyond the, you know, woods that could come and invade, right? So you need your defense, okay? And so your guards, they're on beautiful white horses, right? And they have, you know, they have their staff and their, you know, they're adorned. The horses are adorned. They're adorned. And they circle, right? They patrol around the castle, and they're ready to protect. So if some energy that's going to come in to invade, to destroy, to harm, They're there to say, no, you cannot. Right?
Yeah.
So they're good. They're good. That's our anger system. Okay? What happens when we don't actually feel our anger is that it piles up inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because feelings have a lifespan. And the lifespan of a feeling is however long it takes to fully feel it. Okay? So if we do not fully feel our anger, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When we have anger built up inside of us, it's like this reservoir, and it's kind of intense because it builds up. And anger is an energy that's powerful, okay? So you don't have these, you know, these nights that are like wimpy, right? That are all like kind of watery and soft and like, hey, no, we don't really want you to come in. You know, we want our guards to be like these powerful beings that are like, no, we're strong. We know where our boundaries lie, right? So anger is a fiery thing. Anger is an energetic thing. Anger is a force to be reckoned with, right? And so when we have a reservoir of anger inside of us and we start to feel angry, we don't just tap into maybe the immediate emotion of anger. We tap into that whole reservoir.
Yeah.
Okay? So we need to learn to move anger and feel anger and let it out of our system.
Yeah, right.
Right? And we need to do this in a direct way. And with anger, it's so obvious how important it is to be in a direct relationship with our feelings. Because the reason anger has got such a bad reputation is because it really is incredibly distorted when it's indirect, when we have an indirect relationship with our anger. Because what happens is that anger is such a powerful thing that we're not always able to control it.
Exactly.
Okay? We can't always control it. But when we're having an indirect experience of our anger, it's ugly because it comes out as rage at other people. It comes out because it's indirect, that the definition of indirect is it's directed somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So it can come out in really where we say really mean things, where we might even hurt somebody, you know, physically or emotionally, right?
Yeah.
Anger in its distorted form is violence. Mm. We don't like that, and we shouldn't like that.
Yeah.
It's not good, okay? So when you have this history of being stuck in blaming rage, it's like you know that you have a reservoir of anger that you need to learn to have a direct relationship with.
Yeah.
But the good news is that what's happened is when you've kind of made this separation between yourself and your anger, you've made a separation literally between yourself and your power, between yourself and your will. Your will is what knows what you want and what you need, and you actually can't feel it because you're disconnected from your anger. Because our system of anger is our system of power in our system of our will.
Yeah, right.
Okay? So that's why it's good for you to connect with your anger in a really expressive, releasing way. So that you can feel the power again of who you are. And so anger needs to be loud, and anger needs to be forceful, and anger needs to be water move. When water moves, it's all very fluid, and, you know, it's kind of curvy, like in waves. anger is more like flaming arrows. And so anger likes us to kick and to punch and to bite and to growl and to scream, right?
Yeah.
That's what gets anger out.
Yeah.
And we want to do some of that because we know that we have this built-up blaming rage. And we want to actually turn that into a direct relationship with our real energy. And so the first thing, like, just imagine that you've got, like, this water hose and it's been blocked, right? And then when you finally get the block out, the first thing that happens is all this dirty water flows out, right? Yeah. And it keeps flowing out until finally the clear water comes, right? The fresh water, because you got all that old water out.
Yeah.
And that's what will happen with your anger. You get all this old anger out. And then the new, fresh energy will come, which isn't necessarily angry because, you know, there's nothing there to fight with in the moment. It's just your power. It's your power to know what you need and what you want. And if, you know, someone comes across your path that wants to hurt you, yeah, there'll be that flare of no way. That's pure anger. Right? But in general, it'll just be your power.
Yeah.
Okay? Is that making sense?
Yeah, so how do you... So every time I kind of can connect with my anger and express it,
mm-hmm.
it's possible that I could be, you know, moving that reservoir that's within me that's stagnant and has been there for ages.
Yeah.
So is there any point where you go, I think I've moved, like you can just be angry in the moment with the thing that's happening that's relevant rather than the backlog that's making you crazy about stuff that's not.
Yes, absolutely. Just stay with what's coming up for you in the present. That's quite enough because that taps into it, right? Mm. And you just move as much as you feel your body knows. It's like when we stop getting in the way. Our body knows. So our body might know that we could do this for 5 minutes and then we're exhausted.
Yeah.
That's fine. Right? That's fine.
Yeah.
Then the more you create a safe place for yourself to do this kind of release and connection, the more you will be giving yourself permission to heal. And so that will become all the more an organic process for you. So you'll know when you're needing to feel something because you're not going to be so numb to it and you're not going to be so disconnected from it.
Yeah, wow, okay. And you think that's just an organic process? Like it's not like I'm going to go right now. I'm going to go out and bash some pillows. Like, you just have to wait.
Oh, no, you don't have to wait. See, I wouldn't necessarily wait. I would do some intentional anger release because we can guarantee you need to do that, right? So I would, as a practice to, you know, to make this thing happen, I would include some of that. So it's like, okay, I'm going to... Even try like 5 minutes of kicking, like lying on my bed and kicking and pounding a pillow, or maybe like sticking my face into the pillow so that the sound is muffled, but screaming.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try that and see what that's like. Now, I want to warn you when you do that, make sure that when you scream or when you make sounds, they come like from deep down, not from your throat, because if it's from your throat, it's going to be really high pitched. It'll hurt.
Yeah.
It'll hurt your throat. It'll hurt your ears.
Yeah.
And it won't really be that connected to your power. So it's like, you know, you need to right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've tried that before, the screaming and that. If it's not really coming from deep within, it just gets a bit naff and painful after a while.
Yeah, so yeah, don't want to do too much of that. So you might just need to do some pounding.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't always have to be sound.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
And another thing, there's a few other anger tools that are really helpful. Tearing stuff up. So you can get a pile of newspaper and just tear it into bits. You can also take a towel and wring it. Because there's a lot of energy in our hands around anger. It's like we want to destroy something when we're angry enough. We really do.
Yeah.
Right? Rip something to shreds. Maybe his face. But, you know, it's...
like animal Naomi.
Yeah, because that's what it really is. That's what it really is. This is the truth. And we need to know that we have this wildness inside of us that is so alive. So wringing a towel can get some of that hand energy out. And when you do that, you go, oh, I hate you. I hate you for being able to be married to someone else, but you couldn't do a fucking thing for me, right?
Yeah. Oh.
So you are allowed to be kind of in that, you know? It's like we're not going to be holier than thou. Oh, no, I don't have those thoughts, you know? we're going to let them move, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Because, you know, when I was screaming in the car the other day, it was so unkosher. But it was interesting because as I shouted things at Craig and Mel, some of it felt really natural and really deep and really organic. And then I'd sort of take it into something else and the anger would dissipate.
Mm.
Like I took it somewhere more in my head.
Right.
Come back into the things that are really like, and then I was back in there again.
Yes.
That's interesting. It's like even in that really intense thing, I knew what was working and what wasn't.
Right. And it's it's like the difference between the mind and the body. The mind can't heal these things.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because as we talk about this more, it's like there's part of me that just, it feels like I've got big talons and claws and I just want to like, you know, scratch Craig, but it's kind of, and I mean, that would probably be a good thing to do with the anger, but there's kind of something growing in me that's like, you can't do that anymore. Like, it's over. It's like, you have to do something else with those talons, you know? It's
right. But we have to start with the impulse. So it's like the first impulse is that you want to take your talons and tear them into his flesh, right? Yeah. And watch him bleed and tell him how awful he is and that it's all his fault. So you really need to engage with that, but you need to engage with it in an energetic way.
Right.
And then
rather than a real way.
Yeah. But also rather than stuck in your thoughts way.
Yeah.
Okay. Of just indulging in these thoughts.
Exactly. That's the thing I think I'm trying to say.
Right. Yes, it's exactly what you're saying. So what you want to do is you want to make this, you want to live this. It's like, I want to live the experience that I'm this giant bird with these huge talons, and I'm going to rip him to shreds. Eventually, as you do this and you energetically connect with this, what you're going to be left with is this experience of, wow, I'm this giant bird, right? And there'll be this, it's almost like the storm is that, you know, that moment when you tear him up and then, the storm passes, right?
Yeah.
And the clouds start to dissipate and there's a sun ray that comes in and there you are, this huge, incredible bird. What a creature. And the sun shines on you and the stillness you know, and you look around and you hear like those little sounds that you hear through the forest when the storm has just passed, mm-hmm. right? And then you have this sense of you. This is me. Wow, I've grown.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to leave you with that, and we might like kind of do a follow-up where we go into some of the things that, you know, I don't want to focus on right now because this is enough.
Yeah, I'd really like to I think this is really key, Naomi, to where I'm at now, because there's just such a desire to be more relational with the truth, because it comes through and I feel it and I go, because I have this monitoring system that's like, yeah, that's actually fine and that's actually not okay, and it's getting clearer and clearer. So I'd really love some support around, yeah, just getting clearer and clearer with me and my thing, and, you know, so I can go forth and do my thing without being so bogged down in all this other stuff that I make up.
Right. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So this is recorded, so you'll probably listen to it again. I want you to work through all the different kind of pieces that I've given you, and then we can touch base again after you've done some work with it.
Yeah, great. And, you know, like, I'm so happy if other people can learn, you know, from this. I'm really happy to share.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then the next time we talk, I wouldn't mind almost just... I mean, working more of what we're working with now, but I have questions around the practical sense of, like, you know, with the new partner, how involved is it? Do I ask her over here when Tassie has his 13th birthday, you know? Because at the moment I'm making her pay for her sins. I don't involve her in anything.
Right.
And I also, sometimes I just want it to be the four of us.
Right. Okay. Those are great questions. Yes. And so we'll have a look at how we're going to approach that. And I'll think about it, because I'm not sure whether I want to do that on tape or whether I want to do that in writing. But I'm going to think that through, because these are really great questions for anybody who's in that kind of situation. So we'll definitely address them.
Yeah. And where is everybody? No, I didn't see anyone writing.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, there they are, and I'll be putting more stuff up.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, I'm loving it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate your wisdom and insight and support and courage.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.